A sermon on Luke 4, 1 through 13, the temptation of Christ. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the peace, love, and mercy of the triune God be with you now and always. May the peace, love, and mercy of the triune God be with you now and always. Amen. Welcome to the first Sunday of Lent. And what has the lectionary served up for us? Yes, siree, the temptation of Christ. And playing the role of antagonist, the devil himself. I guess we weren't joking on Wednesday with all the dust and ashes and death. But wait, my friends, there is gospel lurking here in this text. In fact, a whole lot more than you first might expect. But first, I feel called to talk about Satan a bit, and then move to the temptations, and finally end on how Jesus proclaims the good news to us in the midst of this wild, famished, temptation-dripping passage from Luke. Now, I know it's difficult, but I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a minute while I list off a few names. Go ahead. Tempter, accuser, king of lies, devil, slanderer, adversary, evil one, Lucifer, god of this age, day star, power of death, Beelzebub. Now, what happened to you there? What images rolled through your mind or groaned in your heart? Were they the classic cartoon devil with pitchfork and pointed tail? Was it all the evil things you've seen, heard, experienced, or done? Was it dark or cold? And did you feel the room change, right? I did, just listing those names. I felt the essence of this space turn somehow. That is how powerful those images and names are for us. This is how close evil is in the world. This is how near our sin is. And yet, look at this story in Luke. Look at what Jesus has done for us here. This story, one of many where Jesus' humanity is on display for all to see, is right here for us to be moved by today. Now in the text, in verse 2, it says, Jesus is in the wilderness, right? Where for 40 days was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days. When they were over, he was famished. What caught my eye this week was the humanity of Jesus here and our kinship with him in that. How many temptations are in this passage? Some might have said three just now, right? That the passage is even sometimes titled The Three Temptations of Christ. But look at what I just read. For 40 days, the devil tempted him. For 40 days. Now that is a different story altogether, my friends, isn't it? Are we not tempted daily as well, right? To forget our neighbor, forget our loved ones, forget ourselves. To say something or think something we know is not based in love and forgiveness. Of course, right, this sin thing, this very action of the accuser himself comes at us daily. The day star is keen for sin to rule, right? To convince us that wrong is right and right is wrong. Here, too, in Luke's telling, Jesus experiences that also. And after not eating for 40 days, Jesus was famished. We can imagine that viscerally, can't we? And I'll add with it a question. What are you famished for in your life? What is it that your body and soul cry out for? Because we have been collectively walking in our own wilderness journey during these COVID times, right? We too have strained to maintain our very homeostasis of being. And some of us have been tempted in this space as well. Because see, the great skill of the slanderer, the accuser, the adversary is to take you and twist it up, make you bend, make you believe that you are not a child of God, that you are somehow less than, that you're unworthy or unable, too fat, too skinny, too rich, too poor, too progressive, too conservative, too, and then fill in the blank with the things you hear in your head every day. See, this is what the devil is trying to do in Jesus in these three temptations we have here. The devil tempts, or in a better Greek translation, tests Jesus around three themes: his sonship, his motivations, and his resolve. Let me say that again. The emphasis of the devil is to test Jesus around his sonship, his motivations, and his resolve and steadfastness. I can't help but resonate with those because I too am tested with the same things, right? Don't our doubts about Jesus and God and faith also stem from similar doubts? Don't we also often doubt others for who they are, for their motivations or lack thereof, and for their resolve and steadfastness? Now, Jesus responds always with a quote out of the book of Deuteronomy, and the answers he gives are also our answers. It is more than bread alone that sustains us. Yes, in fact, our Christian calling is to live in the world and serve and not be of it. That questioning God and God's action or inaction is not our place, and that we are to follow Christ's model for that instead, right? The model of the cross. And later in this passage, in verses 18 and 19, right? The ones that we didn't read, we are also offered a glimpse of who Jesus is. I'll read that to you now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That is who Jesus is. Now, I can't help but also feel a sense that we have been here before. Think about it. Doesn't this whole passage feel familiar to us? Isn't this something that feels like the scenes out of the Garden of Eden playing out again? And doesn't this also feel a bit like the plight of Israel in the wilderness for those 40 years? Right? This tempter is again twisting the word of God to play in his own hands, to place doubt, to elevate above God things of this world. This was the motivation of the snake, remember? And Adam couldn't resist it. Neither could the generation of Israelites who wandered the desert. We know those stories. But here in Jesus, the new Adam, Jesus is set to confront and destroy the power of evil, to undo the sin of Adam at the cross and for all people. Jesus defeats the devil here at this skirmish and later upon the cross, the very place we are walking towards in this season of Lent. Jesus has already put down the power of evil, the power of death. So in a world that feels at times very much under the sway of the father of lies, what is the good news for us today? The good news is that today, on this first Sunday in Lent, we are on the journey to the cross and the resurrection. That in our cycle of in a few weeks, we will be celebrating on Easter morning that final victory where Jesus undoes the power of evil and death for all time. This is not to say that there is no longer the forked tongue of the cunning and evil one, but it does mean that those things of darkness in the shadows will not have the last say, and that the time when Satan believed was opportune, in fact, was the very moment he stepped on the path of his undoing. And I will close with this. As you find yourself on your own Lenten journey these next few weeks, ask yourself these two questions. What are you famished for? And then ask the Spirit to be with you in that space. And second, what temptations in your life, if given over fully to Christ, could be reduced what temptations in your life, if given over fully to Christ, could reduce the volume of the accuser in your ear? For we are fed and we are saved through grace alone, by faith alone, through Christ alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.